हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
So Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 3 Adhikarana 1 Description of the Bahiranga Shakti Anucheda 53. Okay, so then we're on the bottom. Kala, Daiva, Karma, and Swabhava are the Nimitta Gunarupa portion, and the rest are the Upadana, Dravya Rupa. The jiva endowed with Kala, Daiva, Karma, and Swabhava is dual. So is that that was explained before? Let's see. In the commentary of Srila Swami says, Kala is the agitator. Karma, or action, is the nimitta, or cause. Daiva is manifestation of future results of action. And Swabhava is the impression of Daiva on the jiva. Right, so the jiva is endowed with Daiva, Upadi, Kala, Karma, and Swabhava. And so that's why it's also called Jiva Maya. Right? So the jiva endowed with Kala, Daiva, Karma, and Swabhava is dual. Both Nimitta being necessary for Prakriti to transform, and Upadana being a substance, unlike time, Daiva, etc. Right? A portion of the Shakti of Nimitta goes to the Upadana class, just as the sense of I of the Jiva Surup, transformed of ignorance, avidya, leads into the sense of I of Jiva's Upadi, Ahankara. Does that make sense? So, means the Dravya means the aspect of the Nimitta, the cause, then that's going to be you're doing something, but that doing something is going to give a result, right? So you're going to have karma, and that'll give a result. That will also give an impression, yes. Right? And to do an activity, there must be the impressions are created, right? Does that make sense? So those four go together, but they're not as such a substance, right? Substance is the dravya, you know, what it's made out of. These are elements that then transform the substance, right? So you have two different classes. But at the same time, is this sense of identity is with what has transformed, which is made out of the gross, out of the elements, which is the substance. Does that make sense? So the body being made out of earth, water, fire, air, we identify with it. So there's an aspect of it that is there, right? Though, generally, it's like, I do this, I do that, but I'm the body that does all these things. So in other words, the two aspects of Maya, one is substance, and one is then the illusion that I'm the, you know, doer, the controller, the enjoyer, all these things. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yep. It does. The thing is, I'm not clear. How is the part of the nimitta is an upadana?
Meaning that the nimitta is that has your the false identity and all those kind of things.
Right.
That will be on that. Means in other words, the body will be an effect, but it's so. In other words, you're working. The nimitta will be the subtle aspects,
right.
But it doesn't mean it's not working with gross aspects. You know. So what you're left, you're starting with the substance, then you're applying the nimitta, and you're ending with the substance. So we're identifying with the nimitta aspect, but at the same time, we're also identifying with the upadana. But only in as much as we have been involved with it and transforming. We're not identifying with the whole pradhan or the whole everything. You know, it might be a little bit bigger, you know, all the dirt in this country, you know, I am this, you know, like that.
Can we say that Nimitta is the doer? I mean, the identification as the doer, and upadana would be just the materials that the doer uses?
Yeah, basically. But at the same time, as they overlap, because you're going to have the aspect that what you identify with is what you do things with. But it's just pointing out, in other words, one is substance and one is subtle. Yes, please.
So the upadana aspect of maya is that unconscious aspect, unconscious. And then the nimitta part is where the conscious living entity, which is its natural identity, is being his original consciousness is covered. Now that consciousness, the covered, which is the polluted consciousness, that permeates into the unconscious aspect, which makes him identify with the unconscious aspect. So when the jiva identifies with that unconscious aspect, that's when he's relating to the upadana. Otherwise, in his, like whatever we say, vasudeva sattva state, or when there is no gross manifestation of the material world, the jiva maya is still there on him. The impressions of the previous life as swabhava, the time factor, everything is still there. So when we say the eight elements, then the ego is involved. That ego is where we grossly identify with a particular...
with the particular combination of upadana.
Either as a human being, this gross body belongs to me, or this is my laptop or something like that. But before that, in a, like when we are sleeping, Mahavishnu's no...
So you're just left with the subtle
one. Subtle one. But still then, that identity, which is a material identity, is still there.
Yes. And also, you see, because one's conscious and one's unconscious, generally we're only conscious of the nimitta aspect. Only occasionally then we may be conscious of the upadana aspect.
It's not the opposite?
No, no, no. It means just like, if I say, are you your body? It's kind of like you have to stop for a second. But, you know, are you doing this, that, and that, and who are you, and what do you feel? That immediately, because you're conscious. The other one, you have to kind of extend it and go, no, I'm this, I'm that. Because you'll go on your day not thinking of those things, necessarily. But it's not that you can't easily bring that up. You know, you have things like mirrors and other things like that, too. You know, other things. You know, it. So in other words, it's whether you're the consciousness is involved with these subtle aspects of time, karma, daiva, and swabhava, or it becomes conscious of the upadana, the gross elements. So it can be both. It'll do both. But we're just saying the one is just the covering of the consciousness. The other is then you're projecting your consciousness. Does that make sense? Yes.
Also, to other aspects of philosophy like logic and all, we can remove the covering from the upadana, but the nimitta covering cannot be removed. That requires only the Vedantic perspective, because then the karana sharir is not discussed in anywhere else. Like, no, the swabhava is the reality.
True. The karana sharir is not discussed by anybody else.
The karana sharir aspect is only discussed in Vedanta. For the Mimamsakas, Karma Mimamsakas, Swabhava is like eternal.
Yeah, because it's just an ongoing,
ongoing thing. And then for everybody else, even they don't even go up till there. Time and all.
It'll just be illusion. That where that came from, they won't address.
So by logic and all, we can just, upadana, okay, we can relate, okay, and separate from them.
Yeah.
And then the more perverted it is, we may...
Yeah, so that's why you see sometimes people say, we're not the body, and then they'll act on this swabhaviki. Right? We're not this body, but then they'll bring up a political issue that is simply about the body.
Yes.
Because we give up the gross, but we keep that subtle covering. That's interesting. Yes?
I was thinking about that point. Thank you for clarifying that. It sounds like the jiva maya is manifested as a karma sharira, and the Guna Maya is manifested as Stula and Linga Sharma. Is that right?
Yeah, you could say like that. But because that's why it said polluted consciousness is one of the coverings, is one of the material elements. Because without that, you can't function in the material world. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, we take a duck and we put it out in the middle of the desert. It's kind of like, what do you do here? But you put them in water and immediately they're moving. And
yeah.
So you have to have that aspect. But at the same time, yeah, it means the sense of I and mine is what's working. Because so many times as people say is, you know, you do this. And they're doing this with their body, right? Mind, intelligence, like that. But they'll say, but it's not me. I'm not, you know, I don't feel it's my thing. You know, I want to do this. So that'll be the nimitta aspect because of the svabhaviki. Right? The body's there, it's doing the things, but they don't identify with it as much as the other one. You know, the same times you need the gross body, that's where then all these things can take place. So then the upadana would be, means yes, the upadana would be, you know, the body, the senses, the sense objects, you know, the articles that you claim are yours, that, you know, means you personally have, or community, nation, you know, whatever it is that you identify with. But at the same time, is that's come about because of, you know, the karma, the svabhaviki, and all these things. So in other words, you have the gross elements, and everything's going to be manifest through the gross elements, but you're going to do some of the gross elements to make it yours. And so that's why it's yours. That's why then everybody's wearing the latest fashion, but they have to do it in such a way that it's theirs. Mm-hmm. Right? And so the ones that can do it so it's theirs, then they're considered fashionable. And the ones that do it and it's not theirs, then it's just, you know, that's the time to change to a new fashion. You know, because then now it's just become people are doing it, they don't know why. Oh, you're supposed to wear this and this, but they don't know how to wear. So you're always trying to take things. You know, it's just like I give you something to eat. And then, you know, you'll eat that like it is, or how you like to eat it, or you'll put things on top, you know, condiments and this and that. And you'll deal with it in such a way that you are able to feel that this is you by the svabhaviki. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's how also you can have those that maybe appear in a certain position. And it may, but generally speaking, someone's born in a particular family, certain situation, they identify with that and they work within that. But occasionally you see they don't. And so that's because the svabhaviki in that is different. There's some karma that they're in that particular position. But it's not enough that they're going to act that way. So they don't identify with it all as much. So they're going to try to adjust it in line with that svabhaviki. Yes?
Also, the Vaishnavacharyas always emphasize in changing our identity, which is related to the Jiva Maya aspect,
yes,
the svabhava and all. Then the guna rupa or the pradhana aspect, that automatically, whatever it is, it adjusts to it.
Yes.
But we tend to do the other way, trying to adjust the situation.
Yes. Where,
but it need not necessarily change your svabhava and other things in
relation. Yes.
So that's why it doesn't...
That's interesting. So then by the avidya shakti, we get it backwards.
Yeah.
So it's only in vidya shakti, then it goes.
That's why, whichever position you are, you just take the bhakti and...
Yes, yeah, I could probably say you don't have to change your position, means the upadana aspect you don't have to change. You have to change the jiva maya aspect, how you identify as servant of Krishna, or I'm the controller and enjoyer. So that would be then what Prabhu is talking about, the Karana Sharira, because that's the important element. So the Karana Sharira is... That attitude is then manifest through the Jiva Maya. Mm. and then to accomplish a particular upadana, because you think the upadana then is that result, and so then I think if I have a particular upadana, then I'm going to be happy, and if I don't, I won't. Or if someone just identifies with accomplishment of things, then they get something done. It's still upadana, but it may not be theirs. But the point is they've worked with it. But if we can manifest a particular combination of the 24 elements to our liking, then we'll say we're happy. That's our idea here. So we're actually, how you say, going backwards. But the spiritual world, you're trying to create those for Krishna. So that it's all about the mood. So then that's just like Lord Chaitanya, when he opens about the jiva, the first thing he says, he's servant. So sometimes you see lectures, Prabhupada doesn't talk about the so much about the bhakti, he talks about being a servant and establishes we're servant. Because that's something everybody can relate to. And then you can bring in, we're not the body, we're the soul, like this and that. So in other words, you deal with that aspect first. Is that? Yes.
In Soviet Union, they had a slogan that the environment defines consciousness. It was very prominent.
Yes.
But here we see that consciousness actually
defines
environment.
Yes.
But also we see that there's a connection in a reverse order, that the environment affects our consciousness.
Yeah, can influence.
Exactly.
But then it also depends on the swabhaviki, right?
That environment is created by some other living entity. That's why your association is what defines the environment, which actually affects you. It's not passive, it is basically active.
Active because it's someone else's.
That's why
someone else's is applying the nimitta.
Right.
And then that is affecting you.
Okay. So this activates the upadana.
Yeah.
Upadana just not, as Prabhu mentioned, it's unconscious basically.
Yeah, it's unconscious, it's just ingredients. But then I apply my consciousness, you apply your consciousness, and through that association we become affected.
Right.
That's the reason Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his instruction to his wife, he said that there are only two realities, holy name and the Vaishnavas. Because that is what the real consciousness is spread through to the Lord and his devotees. Rest all is just existing.
Yeah, it's that. And also you see is that when it's talked about bad association, it's talking about the mentality of the people, which will be the Jiva Maya.
Right.
It's not being in a particular situation like that. It's about the mentality that is there. So we take the two as the same. But it's being pointed out because here by advantage of when it's pointed out you see the difference. Because like that, we're trained to, it's the environment. When we have this situation, then everything will be nice. And so then one's applying their consciousness on it, another one's applying theirs. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So someone's applied their consciousness, they're getting listening. Someone else doesn't like that, so they want to change that. But they don't have to change it. It's a mentality. Mm-hmm. And so the fight is over the upadana. But in actuality, the effect is from the Jiva Maya.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how a Dhamma Tirtha is defined. Because the Vaishnavas, their consciousness is permeated.
Okay.
And then it also explains why some object is spiritual when it is used in the service of the spiritual master.
Okay, because it's because of the consciousness.
Consciousness, which is by nature.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very far out. Yeah, you use a piece of brass and take some cotton and some ghee and light it on fire and wave it around, and then it's spiritual. Because of the consciousness. Because for Krishna, it's all his energy. So it's spiritual anyway. But it's just whether we recognize it that way and use it in his service. We may be thinking that it's material, but because we're using it for Krishna, we get that benefit. In other words, the upadana aspect isn't the main difficulty. And we tend to put it into the upadana. you know, what's done, and what, you know, the, in other words, the effect of things, as opposed to what's the consciousness.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. so if we get a certain external effect, then we think we're happy, but it's about the consciousness that's there. Effects are for the purpose of elevating consciousness. You know, that was the whole thing in drama. It's all about elevating consciousness. Well, much of the time we tend to put it into the upadana aspect. What's the makeup? What's the this? How the guy stand? All these things. No, they're only there to support the consciousness. So consciousness is the actual thing in the Vedic culture. That's what human life is for. So that's why if you don't try to elevate the consciousness, then you're just focused on the upadana. And that's what animals are. Right? They don't think about what they're doing. They just do it. So in other words, the jiva maya for the animal is then prompted by the supersoul. Because they're identifying with the body, but what they do in that body, they don't know. You know, it's a new thing. And so then supersoul, then through what they call nowadays instinct, brings out that aspect of what you do. And so that's why then they all do the same thing.
Here it is divine swabhava as impression of daiva on the jiva. So they exactly act according to their swabhava.
Hmm.
Because it's an impression of the daiva on.
Yeah, what's the karma?
According to their karma. Karma is the cause.
Yeah.
And this is the impression.
So then it's their previous karma. Then that karma is acting on them.
Yeah. Time is the agitator.
Okay.
Then what should happen?
Okay. Yeah, time agitates, makes things happen. Interesting, no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just how simple it is.
I mean, it's very detailed.
No, that's there, but I'm just saying the principle of it, that's the nice thing about the descending, it goes up to such simple principles. And then, so much detail is going on.
Actually, this particular adhyaya establishes the relation between the vyasti samasti, our perspective and Krishna's perspective in between is the material energy.
Okay.
So that's why the principles of the next adhikarana, we go through the first Shakti Parinama Vada.
Okay.
Then we go through Satkarya Vada. Basically, Shakti Parinama Vada is how energy is transforming, how Krishna's energy is transformed. Like, you know, the material creation is just a transformation of the original energy.
Mm-hmm.
And Satkarya Vada is going back. Though it is transforming, it's still not independent.
Mm.
Because the effect is dormant in the cause.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put together, and then the last adhikara discusses the whole metaphysics in detail, that's when the whole Achintya Veda Veda Tattva is established.
Mm.
It's not just transformation and like independence, it is simultaneously one and different.
Mm.
So this, no,
so
what
it's a progression.
Progression. Goes one step by step. First is that establish that what are the aspects, how we are affected. Now, just slowly we'll go into detail of how the metaphysics works.
Okay. Good. Okay. Okay. It is said, Atmanam chasya nirbhinnam abhimano vishatpadam karmanam Sena yena sau kartavyam pratipadyate. When the abode of ahankara in the heart of the universal form became differentiated, the presiding deity Rudra, along with his portion, the ahankara, entered. By this ahankara, identifying oneself became manifest. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.6.25. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The false ego of materialistic identity is controlled by the demigod Rudra, an incarnation of Lord Shiva. Rudra is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord who controls the mode of ignorance within the material nature. The activities of the false ego are based on the objective of the body and mind. Most persons conducted by the false ego are controlled by Lord Shiva. When one reaches a finer version of ignorance, he falsely thinks of himself as the Supreme Lord. That egoistic conviction of the conditioned soul is the last snare of the illusory energy, which controls the entire material world. 3625 purport.
This is that is the jiva maya, which makes you think you are the controller and enjoyer.
The controller and enjoyer, yeah. So then this also is the avidya. So then when you're dealing with vidya, then you see things actually properly. But then the vidya shakti, then that's that. How what's its relationship then with maya here?
Because in within the jiva maya, there are three aspects that the Sangit Sandini Ladini as in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. In the Sandini, that one, there is both vidya and avidya. Through avidya, then we get more and more deeper within the upadana, identification with the gross material objects.
Okay.
Through vidya, you get rid of them and you go like through the process of nyaya and all. You tend to more think in terms of...
Oh, so that's the subtle, that what he's talking about.
Yeah, subtle. So vidya shakti will only...
Finer version of ignorance. So the avidya... The vidya within this is actually a finer version of ignorance.
Yes.
It's all within the overall avidya shakti.
But that vidya can give us a door to liberation because you're not identifying with the material creation.
Okay, you give up the upadana.
Yeah, you give up that upadhi, then it's easier to accept the spiritual upadhi.
Okay, so you also have to give up the upadhi of I'm the controller and enjoyer.
Yes.
Then you can be on the... So therefore... identifying as servant, that's actual of giving up upadis, because then you give up both the gross and means the gross, the material and the polluted consciousness.
And that's how only after accepting the spiritual master, actually you are into some superior spiritual movement, because then it's evident that you have accepted this principle that you are not controlling and enjoying.
Mm-hmm. Yes? No? In the above verse, Atmanam means Ahankara. Abhimanaha is Shiva. Karmana means with the Ahankara. Nirbhinam means that the basis or abode became differentiated. That is explained in the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 3.6.12, where voice is described in the instrumental case as the Adhyatma aspect. Whereas the place is Adibhuta, and the deity of the sense is Adidaiva. Okay, instrumental case Adiatma means that's ourself. We're in the instrumental case. Yeah, because the deity, the Adibhuta, is only going to interact with how we deal as the Adiatmak. But the potency for that, that's coming from the Adidaiva. That's coming from Krishna.
So the Buddha would be our pradhan, I mean driving?
That means, in this context, Adiatma means ourselves and how we're seeing things and everything.
So I'm saying Adibhuta would be the upadhan?
It would be the devatas controlling it.
Adidaiva?
No, in this it's Adibhuta. Oh, the place is Adibhuta. Okay, yeah, here. This one and this one is Adibhuta. Then the place. And then the Adidaiva is the demigod.
So this is the surroundings.
Yes, the surroundings is the Adibhuta. He's the other living entities, you know, whether they're conscious or not, or this or that. But in any case, even though not conscious, it's still someone's consciousness is in it and identified. Does that make sense? Yeah. Pradhan, called Kshetra in the verse, which is the basis of all other parts of Upadana, is a portion of the original Maya. Jiva is endowed with these upadis, but should be understood as beyond them in his pure state. Udriti. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura elucidates on this subject in Jiva Dharma as follows. Vrajanath, why did you refer to the karma of the Jiva as being anadi, beginningless? Raghunath Das Babaji, the prime cause for all karma is the desire to execute such karma. Avidya, ignorance, is the root of this material desire and is defined as forgetfulness of the truth. I am the eternal servitor of Sri Krishna. This avidya did not suddenly sprout out within the time span of the material universal creation. The seed of this root of karma originates in the matrix of the tathasta position of the jiva at the juncture of the material and spiritual creations. Since the source of karma is thus untraceable within the mundane time and material world, karma is said to be anadi. So it's interesting, within these time span, in the matrix of the tathasta position. So the jiva can take advantage of that aspect or not, because they are conscious and they have that aspect of self-will. They can take advantage of their position in connection with Krishna or not being in connection with Krishna. Right? So, but they can't get rid of that who they are. So they do exist, they are conscious, they are aware of things around them, right? They do experience pleasure and pain like this. So these things, that's inherent in them. But because they're not applying it to Krishna, then it goes into Maya. Because there is that aspect of juncture. Right? The position is that on the edge of both, on where both of them meet. And so then you make your decision. You know, just like we see, the yogic Brahmins, they decided to go with the apara vidya aspect of the importance of their yajna, rather than the para vidya, the importance of serving Krishna. Right? So therefore, they're materialistic. But you see, then their wives, they took the paravidya aspect and move forward into devotion. So it's a choice. It's not a matter. Vrajanath, what is the distinction between Maya and avidya? Raghunath Das Babaji, Maya is a shakti of Sri Krishna. Through her, Krishna has created the material cosmos. With the intention of redeeming the rebellious wayward jivas, the Lord has instigated the Maya Shakti and made her dynamic. Thus, Maya has two aspects, avidya, ignorance, and pradana, primal matter. Yeah, so that's going to be the overall avidya.
Jiva Maya is avidya and pradana is pradana.
And pradana is pradana. But within this avidya, you also have the two.
Yeah, vidya.
Vidya and avidya. In other words, it's not understanding the Lord, it's avidya, but within that it can be avidya taking you farther away, and vidya meaning bringing you closer simply up to the point of liberation. But it can't take, that vidya shakti can't take you beyond. That's why it says that the, you know, logic and renunciation and sannyas and studying script can't get you beyond that. It's only bhakti can. Because you're not actually dealing with the original vidya shakti.
Interesting thing is, this is Achit Shaktis, and then the Chit Shakti also have Vidya and Avidya. Through the Vidya of Achit Shakti, then you connect to the Vidya of Chit Shakti. And when you advance, then the Achit Shakti of Vidya, and the Avidya Shakti of internal potency also acts, because then you need to forget Krishna's position.
Mm-hmm.
So Avidya, Vidya, Vidya, and then...
Yeah. Because then cause and effect, yeah. It's both there. Because that'll be the, even in Krishna, he'll be the Sarvagyar, the Mukdatta, whether he's remembering his position as the Supreme Lord or he's not. Yeah. So avidya, ignorance, and pradan, primal matter. Right, so it always comes down to these two. So the matter itself, that's pretty straightforward. And then within the avidya, that's where you get all these finer points. Does that make sense? That's what I'm meaning by it's simple. It's these two things. And then within the pradhan, then you have the elements that are there. You know, the 23 elements, and then that 24th, and that's what it creates this other side. So, you know, and then that has its subdivisions. Avidya is related to the jiva, whereas the pradhan is related to the external material world. The inert matter of the material universe is produced out of pradana, and avidya binds the jiva to the fruit of desires of material life. Maya has another two features, vidya and avidya, both of which are concerned with jiva. Avidya puts the jiva into his conditioned state of captivity, and vidya liberates him. Right? So in other words, one takes you down, one brings you up. When the imprisoned jiva strives after reunion with Krishna, the vidya principle is activated, bestowing spiritual realization. However, as long as the jiva forgets Krishna, he's under the spell of avidya. Brahmajnana, cognizance of the Supreme, is a specific branch of the vidya principle, manifesting within the spiritually awakened consciousness of the jiva. Vidya has two phases. In a first phase, vidya prompts pious deeds and a positive spiritual endeavor. And in her second, mature phase, bestows realization of the Supreme Truth. Avidya clouds the consciousness of the jiva, and vidya dissipates the clouds. Yeah, so that's interesting. Pious and a positive spiritual endeavor. So that means it can be more on this piety or more on the spiritual endeavor. You know, whether it's more karma or jnana. You know, because in both, you have to have both. But it's just where the emphasis is. The karma is more on the activity, the piety, and then there has to be some aspect of the spiritual, that we're the soul. But only enough to take part in it. Well, the other one is about we're the soul, and then there's enough activities to act in that capacity.
So also moving to the third level of aparoksha conscious state.
Mm.
That is the state we're discussing about. Basically, the more avidya shakti, then we move to anamaya kosha, then vidya shakti is adding, then you can move to 2 and 3.
Okay.
Only when you come in touch with spiritual,
okay,
then you move higher.
So the vidya basically will keep you in anamaya pranamaya.
Mm.
And then with the vidya, then you can function in manamaya, vijnanamaya, and ultimately anandamaya. But then you're dealing beyond the Maya's vidya shakti. Yes. You're dealing with the original.
Even to come to vijnanamaya, actually, we need to, if we discuss on an actual platform.
Yeah, on an actual platform, yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, avidya is a feature of Maya.
Yes.
It doesn't belong to jiva, but it gets activated by jiva,
mm-hmm,
because of that anadi.
It means activated in that it's used. The original activation is Krishna, that it can function.
Right. But here, because the Maya bodies, in their discussion,
mm-hmm,
they say avidya and they say Maya and the jiva, but their mix is different. But mm-hmm, here we see that the Maya is an energy of the Lord, the feature of Maya is an avidya, but it's inactive unless it comes in contact with jiva.
Jiva. So that's why they'll say jiva created
avidya.
But at the same time, is how do you get jiva? Oh, he's covered by avidya. So that's why their philosophy doesn't work. You know? And then when they talk about the vidya shakti, then they'll say, well, that's then the Lord. So that's that's more subtle. Then that, then they become covered by that. Then they think they're God.
Ishvara.
Yes, Ishvara. So it's all about them, but at the same time, is they don't want to take responsibility, because otherwise, you know, they'll say, you know, that's there, but at the same time, how do you get the jiva? Oh, that's by something else. So in other words, me being here is not by my doing. It's just somehow or another happened. So you can see, as they still are maintaining, as Prabhu pointed out, the karana sharir. So even though the jiva maya still functions, even their liberated jiva maya is still there. That's why it's temporary, because they still think I'm the Lord, I'm the control, I'm the enjoyer, because that's what they're trying to get to, right? Because the core thing, you try to get to that. Is that, so for them, the core thing is that, but because they're afraid, they've seen that material, you know, in material world, in their experience, then personalities and endeavors and results have resulted in their pain. Either from they can't control it, or they did control it and it still gave them pain. So then their ideas they're afraid of that spiritual can mean personal. So that's why they're called fearful. They're afraid of a personal relationship and being a person. You know, and then when you take it to extreme, then you get anger. They just want to destroy everything. So that's the Buddhism. Yeah. Yes.
Also, this aspect, the avidya, she's under the control of time because he's the agitator, and at that time is a Lord Shiva, Rudra.
Mm.
So basically, this aspect of the Supreme Lord is only related to material world. How he controls the living entities through these actions.
Mm.
That's why he's completely different. Whereas the Supreme Lord is directing the Jiva to get out of it. It's like personal relationship. Whereas Lord Shiva's relationship with us
is actually like, just impersonal.
Yeah, it's he's an authority.
It's official. It's official, you know, you want to do this, this is how it works. But Krishna is how to get out.
So that's where the difference comes.
The difference comes. The same, but different. Yeah, because Shiva's not taking you out. He's doing the duty of harassing you so that you want to get out, but it's only by connection to Vishnu that you'll get out.
That even too as a devotee in Mahakalapura. That duty as helping you to get out, he's due, as a devotee in Mahakalapura, when he comes, it's not him in there, it's a controller of...
Well, there it's also then, that's why it said in the previous page, that was making it, Prabhupada's making the point of the demigod Rudra, an incarnation of Lord Shiva.
Yes.
So in other words, Lord Shiva means Sadashiva.
Yes.
So that is actually just Krishna in that form as a servant. He's just an expansion of Shankarshan. But then Rudra is actually then dealing with that time element and everything there. He's the one inside the universe. He's the incarnation of the mode of ignorance.
That's how she was the Swamsha aspect of the Lord, which is in the last hour, like Vishwaksena, spiritual Ganesh, all these are that hour.
Okay, we'll come to that. No? Avarnas are coming up?
No, it was in the part of Lagu Bhagavatamrita. I think we can add somewhere in Krishna Sandarbha.
Okay.
It
should be there. Yeah. People should know about that. Yes.
To also explain why Mayavadis, most of them worship impersonal Shiva, not an impersonal Brahma. Because they see that Shiva manifested for them as an impersonal Brahman, but actually it's a feature of Vishnu.
Yeah.
Which they don't understand that.
No, they don't understand that. But you know, it has that impersonal aspect. He's dealing with that because you have the Jnana Shakti is dealing with all the impersonal aspects, just the all-pervading. But that doesn't mean it's not coming from the person. So this absolute impersonalism that they conceive of, that doesn't exist. So that's why we can talk about Brahman, and it just means that feature of Krishna. Like if I talk about the sunshine, you know, we don't think that there's no sun. But they're talking about sunshine. There's no sun. There's no sun god. There's just sunshine. You know? So that's why then it becomes confusing. Because on the material platform, that's all the more you can understand. So it's only when you come in contact with the chit potency, then you can understand beyond that. So that's why in the association of devotees, then you can appreciate what's beyond. Otherwise, one will always just work within that context. You won't work beyond. Yeah, interesting. But also, because he's the agitator, he's the one that makes it work.
Yeah.
So in that way, he's the lord of Maya. But ultimately, then, Vishnu's the lord because it's his energy. But he takes that feature to deal with her. But if you want to get out, then you have to deal with him. So, yeah. You know, it'd be just like, let's say you have, like let's say you have the prison, and you have the prison warden. Now, you're in there, and yes, you deal properly, you know, as the prison warden says, your existence in the prison goes a little easier than if you don't. But if you want to get out, that's dealing with beyond the warden. The warden doesn't make the rules on who's here and who's not. They just deal with who's there. But then the state says, you know, you spend this much time and this much behavior, you get out. You know, you better behave, you get out earlier. You worse behave, then you can consider if it's longer. You know, or you can also get pardons, but pardons aren't given by the warden. The pardons are given by, you know, beyond that, the governor, the president, you know, somebody like that of some authority.
Yeah. I'll throw in another thing there, that you're so long in the prison, when you come out, you don't have anything to identify with. But when we are with Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, then he gives you that spiritual identification where you fit in exactly where you're supposed to.
Oh, okay.
In relationship.
Okay, so that's why then they're always back. The prisoners are always back because they have no identity outside.
Yeah. That is the Brahma-Buddha state.
Really he comes up to the, he gets liberated, but then he doesn't identify, so he still has that criminal mentality, so he comes back. Because the Karana Sharir still remains.
The warden may have that ability, okay, you're doing nice, I'll reduce and just go out, but you go out and come back because...
Do they have a welcoming ceremony when they come back? Yay! He's back. You know, yeah. Then they go around, you know, okay, what were the bets? What were the bets, you know? Who said 6 months?
According to the movies, the welcoming into the prison is not something very pleasant.
No. But I'm talking about the guys that come back, not the ones that are new.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. The guys that have gone out, they've done something wrong, and they're back. You know, I'm just wondering you know, all their friends go, hey, you know.
Cleaning the cell.
Huh?
He stays at that particular cell which has a window and you clean it.
Yeah. So then, you know, everybody moves out and he gets back his cell back.
I don't remember details. I have to look up. But isn't it that the original consciousness of the jiva or identity is that in Brahma Bhuta, I'm saying, is the realization of the Brahman? Isn't that the original jiva consciousness?
That's on the Tathastas, yeah. It means that they understand that they're Brahman. So that means they have no identity with the material world.
Right.
So that means, you know, to go down from there, you have to fall from Brahman.
Yes.
So it's not a natural position. That's why we say it's natural. As Brahman, you're going to interact with Parabrahman. You're not going to interact with avidya. It doesn't make sense. You wouldn't do that. You know, it's just like crows and garbage. They go together. But swans and nice lakes, they go together. So for the soul, they being Brahman, they're going to relate with Brahman. Mm-hmm. So it's only then seeing Brahman enjoying, controlling and enjoying, and they think, I want to do that. Then now, under avidya, now they get covered and come into the material energy. So it's completely our choice. Right.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the, you know, as you were pointing out the other day, is that people don't want to take that responsibility. You know, it's interesting. It struck me also is that you have three, even within excuses, you're going to have excuses in goodness, passion, and ignorance. Goodness is going to be, you know, I'm doing my duties, everything and all that. It didn't work out. I don't understand. I did my duties. You know, means I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, so we can't do anything else. Like, you know, you want me to do this? I can't. I'm already busy. You know? Then in passion, I did everything. I have no idea why it didn't work. You know, so as I did, but it didn't work out, that doesn't make sense, because I'm the supreme controller, it should work. And then the ignorance is it's someone else's fault, not mine. Even I did not, it just happened. I don't know why. I was just walking down the street and the police came along and picked me up and took me to the down to the station. You know, I wasn't doing anything. Well, what were you doing 5 minutes before that? Oh, that's another thing. But they didn't pick me up then. They picked me up when I was just walking. Why they're picking me up when I'm just walking? So then you can also see there in the excuses what's the thing, you know, because I'm doing my duties. So I'm doing everything, so why isn't Krishna giving? You know, I'm doing everything, why aren't I happy from what I'm doing? Or, no, it's someone else's fault. So if it's someone else's fault, you know, we can blame whoever we like, you know, depending on how pious or impious we are. So, yeah.
Also, which Prabhuji was pointing out that we saw the primary qualities of jiva before. Mm. And among them, the being conscious,
yes,
the knowledge and the knower all falls into that.
Yes.
And then being
the and also that point of being happy.
Yeah.
Because the happiness of Brahman is there. So that's the point, is the happiness of Brahman won't compare to the happiness of the material world. So there'll be no interest. But somehow or another, some jivas think, I can get more than, because they see Krishna's enjoying more than that Brahman position. So then some just naturally follow that, because they're looking, as the jiva being Ananda, will naturally look for, you know, the increase in Brahman, Ananda. That's, you're an individual. And then they'll do that by engaging their activities and their situation in Krishna's connection, in his service. So then those move forward into devotion. And those become the eternal, you know, the nitya siddhas. But then those who somehow or another think, no, but I could do that. So already they have that interest. They're not considering Krishna, so they become covered by the avidya shakti. And then they think, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So then now they can look at the material world and think, I can do something with it. But the natural position is the jiva would never identify with the material world. But somehow or another, that's why it's a small percentage that comes into the material world. Right? The normal thing is to move forward. That's what also Bhaktivinoda Thakura in Tattva Vivek, he says the natural position is I am spirit, and then Krishna is the supreme spirit. So I am experiencing some, existing and experiencing some happiness. But if I'm spirit, I'm not coming on, and you know, where's the source? So that comes from Krishna. He's the supreme spirit. And so that means my position, my happiness is all coming from him. So therefore the natural thing is out of that gratefulness, to serve. But if we're not looking at that aspect of the gratefulness, we just want for ourselves. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like I said, you have the langur and you have the regular old monkey. Are those the rhesus monkeys or
macaque?
Monkey.
Yeah. Don't they call them macaque monkeys?
I'm not sure.
Macaque rhesus.
Huh?
Macaque rhesus, they call them.
Macaque rhesus, okay.
Macaque rhesus.
Macaque rhesus, okay.
Macaque rhesus.
Yeah, because I've just heard the rhesus part. Macaque rhesus. Okay, so those guys, it's like I have a bunch of bananas, and with the langur, you pick off one banana and hand it to them. He looks at that banana and eats the banana. Then he may look back at you, then you take another one and you give him. And that way you could go through the whole bunch. Peacefully. You can sit down there, they're sitting here, you just hand them a banana at a time. Like that. But these, what do you call it, Risa?
Macaque rhesus.
Rhesus.
Yes.
Macaque rhesus. Those guys, you hand them one banana, they take it, but they're looking at the bunch. And as soon as you are not looking at the bananas, they can understand you looking at them, they see their opportunity, they grab it and run.
Or one is waiting at the back already.
Oh, that's another one. And so as soon as he runs, the bigger guy grabs him and takes all the bananas and that. So it's a real riot, these guys.
Survival of the fittest.
Yeah, I think someplace they one guy came out. He had this, you know, these crates you see here. They're like plastic crates that have all the like slots in the sides, you know, in the bottom and all that. They put things in. I'm not sure what they're used for. But this guy, full of bread slices, or half full. You're not completely full. You know, more fun if it's only half full. He brings it out, and there's a million monkeys there. So it must have been somewhere, you know, maybe in Burma or in Thailand, someplace. Brings it out, plunks it down. You just see this ocean of monkeys just bang on top of it, and this, and pulling, and guys are trying to get out, and this, and oh, it's a riot. No organization at all.
Reminds me of some countries.
Yes. Yes, it's completa. Or like, what was it? Black Friday? It's the same principle. Yeah, you know, same principle.
A new iPhone model getting out.
Yeah, same thing. That's everybody's there. Then you just see, do they get in the line 2 days before with their tent, or do they just show up on the day and try to get in? Then you know which of the two monkeys they are. So that's the whole point is that it's just a matter of, in other words, we see that mentality is there. You could either just naturally, this is wonderful, how to move forward in that wonderfulness, or this is wonderful, how do I get more of it for myself? How do I get control of this? So that's the difference between the two mentalities. One becomes nitya siddha, one becomes nitya bhata. But because it happens before time, it's happening within the spiritual context. That's why it's called anadi, because there is no time running there. The spiritual world doesn't run on time. Yeah?
So actually, we are all nitya siddhas, but sometime they are nitya bhattas. Is it?
No, it means, because nitya siddha means you're acting in that capacity. Once you've come to the point of prema, you can't fall. Yeah. You can't fall from prema. You can fall from a neutral state. But once you take up that neutral state in a positive way to develop that a relationship with Krishna, you'll never fall. See, that's the point that that one group focuses on, see, so we can never be in the spiritual world. Because everyone takes it that you're automatically in prema. But no, you're automatically as tathasta, you're in neutrality. Now you can move it forward into prema or not. So that's why you can say you fell from Brahman. You fell from the neutral state. But we take that as a location. The location is the spiritual world. But the mentality is neutrality, is Brahman. Because we never got past that state. That's why we're here. Now, by coming in contact with the devotees and the chit potency, now we know beyond that. So we're getting a taste beyond neutrality. So that's why then when one again goes back to the spiritual world, then one will continue beyond, because that taste is there to go beyond. So we never had that taste before. And some would say, well, if we never had, why would we go back? Because it's just, you know, it's just like I make a new car. Has it driven before? No. So does that mean, okay, it's never driven before, so it should never drive? This is a reaction in the mode of ignorance, a destructive anger. You know, is that, well, if it's not that, then, you know, everything, just destroy everything. So it's that kind of effect. Or just destroy everything. It's either this or nothing. But that's not the reality. The reality is that's the natural position. You move forward. The child's born. Does it? As soon as he's born, he goes, "Mommy!" No, he doesn't. He just cries and this and that. And after a while, he notices, "Hey, this person cares," and they develop a relationship. That's all. You know, in other words, we were the one after being born, and then the baby he takes the doctor's phone and then, you know, checks it out, goes out and complains about the weak Wi-Fi thing and walks out the door. Yeah? Never saw that commercial? Yeah? So is that good?
Yes, so...
He's been gone the whole time. So, you know, does that explain it? Just,
go ahead. No, when I was walking, I was...
No, I just it's just funny. Stuff. Come back. Yeah, so it doesn't even matter. We're going to talk, not talk.
Does it mean that the absolute neutrality would be... Brahma Bhuta stage, and then the positive neutrality would be the Rati stage.
Yes, means that's what means you in because when you, yes, because absolute neutrality just means it's just neutral. It's not material, but it technically is not spiritual. It's situated in the spiritual platform, but one hasn't actually taken too much interest in it. That's why as soon as you introduce, I am the eternal servant of the Lord, that introduces spiritual. So it takes one beyond the absolute neutrality.
So it has a potential.
It has a potential, yes. But you can also appreciate that absolute neutrality. And then how you say? But it wouldn't remain there. That's the position we're coming from. We would go into positive. Now, whether in going into positive we want to take up that sense of service, that then fully brings it into the spiritual. But otherwise, we'll be on the spiritual side of that neutrality. Does that make sense? So that will mean Rati will be there, but not Prema. Right? But it's all love of God. It means the whole thing, all eight stages are love of God. But gentlemen, we're talking, because we're talking... you know, about service, dynamic service, so we're always talking prema and that. But technically you can say rati is also part of the whole thing of priti. Yes?
When we discuss these points, there are like three aspects, which is our existence and our relationship, like sambandha, abhideya and prayojana.
Yes.
In sambandha we are tatastha, we always are that.
Yes.
But in abhideya is, that's when we discuss where, under whose shelter are you.
Yes.
Either we are in the shelter of avidya or like no material energy or spiritual. That's why when we discuss on, okay, in the spiritual world, we always discuss in connection with the bhakti shakti, whether you are a bhakta or a not.
Yes.
So then the whole thing actually changes. Like when we discuss the position situation, we are already discussing only the sambandha, then avidya and prayojana what. So even in absolute neutrality, it's just the sambandha. Still, the abhideya and prayojana is not there. If you're not established in spiritual, that means you're already material. Okay, that neutral state is the Brahma-Bhuta stage, which is the transfer phase, but still it is counted in the material world, not in the...
Yeah, but the jivas is because they are internal potency, they're part of that.
Yes.
So they're part of the spiritual pastimes. Now, whether they want to take part in the pastimes, that's another thing. You're not falling from prema in a pastime with the Lord. It's somehow or another you never took it up. You have the opportunity for it. Just like the father's there, the son's there, the son's, you know, is going to inherit, you know, the property. But he may go off somewhere and not inherit. So that's where it probably uses the example of, you know, the son who's suffering, wandering in the street, and you tell him, oh, your father's a rich man, let me take you to him. You know, then you solve all his problems. So that's our natural state. So the neutral is means remaining in the neutral, that's part of the material world. But the neutral state's not part of the material world. Right? Because it's only once that whole the jiva maya starts, then it's part of the material. So it's the point, it's the beach. So the beach is, if you're looking towards the land, it's part of the land, and then the water may come or not. But if it's the other way, it's part of the ocean, and the water comes in and out. It's not part of the land. Does that make sense? You face the ocean, the beach is part of the ocean, because that's where the water will come. If you're facing the land, it's part of the land, but water happens to come there. So therefore, to make it more convenient, you move more in towards the land, and then no water. So that's the point. So it's land, but it acts as water.
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is that you can see it either way. So it depends on us. How we see it, that's where we move. You know, the main point is we've made the decision. Because otherwise, you know, we like to wash our hands of the responsibility and say it's someone else's fault. Because then if it's someone else's fault, someone else has to get me out of here. Or if it's my fault, I actually have to work and get myself out of here. You know, and then they say, well, how come the internal posts? Then we're not satisfied. Well, why isn't everybody else isn't miserable? Why can't they? That they're a different Shakti. That's just, you know, live with it, you know. Well, what's the problem? You know? Are you making a whole case for the trees? No, because you're not either. So then, leave them alone. Okay. Vrajanas, how does the pradhan function? Raghunathas Babaji, when the pradhan of the Maya Shakti is agitated by the potency of Sri Krishna in the form of Kala, eternal time, the Mahatattva, the total material substance, is produced. Thus, when the pradhan, an aspect of Maya, is stirred into motion by Kala, matter comes into existence. Ahankara is then manifested from a transformation of the Mahatattva, because then it'll be specific, right? In other words, we're going to have different levels of Ahankara. The first one then is, I am the controller and enjoyer, right? Then we're going to get a specific identity connected with pradhan, you know, or with the upadana aspect, that I am this body or that, or I am like this kind of thing. Ahankara is then manifested from a transformation of the Mahatattva. And when Ahankara is transformed by Tamagun, Akash, ether, is produced. Akash is then transformed to the air, then air into fire, then fire into water, then water into earth. In this way, the Pancha Mahabhuta, the five gross elements of matter, come into existence. Now listen carefully how the Pancha Tanmatra, five sense objects, respectively related to the Pancha Mahabhuta, the five gross elements of matter, are created. Kala agitates the avidya aspect of Prakriti, material nature, to manifest the humors of jnana and karma within the Mahatattva. Within the Mahatattva, when this element of karma is transformed by sattva-gun, jnana, cognizance, is produced. And when rajagun acts upon karma, then kriya, action, is produced. Jwara spoke thus the verse to the Lord. Vriti, having defined the Nimitta and Upadana portions of the Maya Shakti, the Vidya and Avidya Shaktis of the Nimitta portion are elaborated in the next Anucheda. Right? Because there'll be some more definitions there. Because we understand that they're there. And then it's just a matter of, you know, exactly what they're doing. Right? Anucheda 54. The first two functions of the Nimitta form of Maya are described. Vidya vidye mama tanu vid yudhava sharirinam moksha bandha kari adye mayaya me vinir mite. O Uddhava, understand that vidya and avidya are my shaktis. They are created by my Maya, are without beginning, and create liberation and bondage for the living beings. How big is this commentary? Since bondage and liberation are manifested, tanyete, by avidya and vidya, they are called tanu. They are shaktis made of my maya. Mayaya me vinir mite. Since they are functions of maya, they cause bondage and liberation. The single case in Bandha Moksha Kari indicates dual case. Since they are effects of Maya, they should not be eternal or without beginning. And that means that's the doubt. No, they are without beginning, adye. As long as I aspire avidya, bondage appears, verb is understood. When I give vidya, then liberation appears. Right, so it's in dual case, so that means then you have both aspects there at once, like that. That's the position. So it's pointing out that you have both are there at once. Because otherwise you say it has a beginning, it has to have an end. You know, or if it has no end, it has no beginning, it can have no end. But we're saying, no, it has a beginning, it has no end. I mean, excuse me, it has a beginning, and it will end. But, wait a second.
It is no beginning.
It has no beginning, it will end.
Yeah.
So that's why it's not understood. It has no beginning, it will end. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.